whether it's horses or beams or DJ Khaled lyrics, every day I find a way to dunk on myself on this program. Because those are definitely the lyrics to the song. Anyway, so we were joking earlier about how we might have to, like, let ourselves into Cafe mm-hmm. Diplomatico tomorrow. That's not the case because, you know, we're going to be down there broadcasting live from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. at Toronto's soccer headquarters. That's Cafe Diplomatico, where nations unite. And it opens at 5 a.m. for all matches. And we'll be there until 1 p.m. Big screens throughout, massive video wall, heated patio.
That's going to be
special
amazing.
Special street event from noon to 9 p.m., live entertainment. Cafe Diplomatico's got it all, starting at 5 a.m.
And it's in Little Italy, for those of you that aren't aware. College, it's like the soccer headquarters of the city.
Maybe we can tempt our next guest to make it down there.
Big V better be there.
Our insider. Which is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. That insider is Vivek Jacob, writer for Raptors.com and CBC Sports. Vivek, I know you're a big World Cup guy. Are you going to be down there experiencing Canada in a bar location? Do you have to watch from the comfort of your home? What's your viewing experience going to be tomorrow for Canada-Belgium?
I will be working from home. So I will be previewing, you know, teeing up the match, all of that for CTV. So I'll be busy with them.
Perfect. I guess, you know, if you're a soccer writer and involved in the game, you got to actually work through this. But with us, we're just like, you know, trying to enjoy it as much as we can. What are your impressions early on for the World Cup here? We just saw probably
massive
the biggest
upset
we're going to see with Argentina going down to Saudi Arabia. England tore through Iran yesterday. The U.S. drew with Wales. What stood out to you to start here? And if it's Argentina, that's the number one. What else has stood out for you?
Yeah, obviously Argentina getting shocked today is a huge upset. Did not see that coming from Saudi Arabia. But, man, those goals were amazing, especially that second goal by Salem Al-Dawsari. And I think that opens up that group completely because those next two matches for Argentina, whether it be Mexico, whether it be Poland, those are going to be competitive matches. And so I don't even know if they make it out of this group anymore. Oh. So I think that is a huge shock. And obviously this being Leo Messi's last World Cup, the pressure's on. It's huge pressure the rest of the way now. So yeah, that's the big news. Yesterday, you look at that Netherlands-Senegal match, that was the one I was really looking forward to as the first big matchup of the tournament. Netherlands don't come in with, you know, the serious contender tag that they've had in previous years, but this is still a strong team. Senegal, of course, are the African champions. So I thought that was a really fun match to watch. Mm-hmm. Netherlands pull it out late. So that's a good start for them. And then, USA and Wales. It's going to be interesting between those two who makes it through. I think Iran, that was a bit of a disappointing performance from them. I thought, I honestly thought, you know, there was a possibility of what we saw Saudi Arabia do to Argentina. I thought there was a chance that Iran could try and do the same against England. But England were absolutely lights out. That was an incredible performance. You don't usually see them start a big tournament like that, so it's a very encouraging sign for them.
Do you feel differently about them at all? This is a bit of a self-serving question, but I'm an English soccer fan, so like, does that make you feel, I know it was Iran, but Iran had some expectation. Does that make you feel a little bit different about where they might stack up, and especially here with Argentina? You say they might not get out of the group. As one of the co-favorites, like, is there a path here for England that might be a little bit more obvious after what we saw from the first game from the Three Lions?
So I expect England to win the group. That was my expectation coming in. For me, the big test is going to be in the second round where they're likely to face one of Netherlands, Senegal, or Ecuador, whoever finishes second in that group. And so either way, that's going to be a really difficult matchup. Obviously, with Netherlands picking up that big win against Senegal, you would now expect them to win that group. So odds are it's probably Senegal or Ecuador at this point. But I think that would be a really tough match. If they could get through that, then I think that really opens up that side of the bracket. Now, the other thing I will say is a lot of people expected Argentina to finish first in their group. If they finish second and England finish first, then they end up on the same side of the knockout bracket. So that is something that could hurt England's chances if Argentina turns things around.
So the uneducated Ailish and I were talking earlier about how a result might change what you do in your game. And if Argentina goes down, do Poland and Mexico get aggressive? Do they get conservative? Like, what is the tactical switch after something else happens in the group? And I guess that can apply to Canada. Not that I'm suggesting something will happen in Croatia and Morocco that will change things, but it seems like Canada has some lineup decisions here. It seems it has some maybe load management concerns with Alphonso Davies. Do you want to run him out there against Belgium if Belgium is likely to win that game anyway? So this has been a lot of the focal point here for Canada. Do you see it as smoke and mirrors, you know, the talk about Davies and Eustaquio and Boyan, or is there a legitimate concern here for you that one of these players, multiple players here, will be unavailable or will be affected at least by the injuries that they've come into the tournament with?
So I'm not concerned about Eustaquio and Boyan. I think those two will be ready to go. And I think those two, it's been very much precautionary. My concern is with Alphonso Davies. He says he is ready to start. And based on the reports, we've also seen that he hasn't quite hit top speed yet in practice. Obviously, media only gets to see a certain portion of the practice. So they might be just keeping that under wraps in terms of what he can actually do. If he can't go at top speed, I would be a bit more conservative. I would seriously consider just bringing him off the bench. This is a really tough match against Belgium. You can't afford to, because the thing you have to recognize, this is, at the end of the day, Alphonso Davies' first World Cup match. You put him out there, he's going to give it everything he has. And with a hamstring, that can be a bit tricky. So you have to protect the player. You have to know what's coming with him. And so if he's fully ready to go, then yeah, I have no problem with starting him and getting the best out of him. Obviously, we know how much he can lift his teammates as well. Them seeing him on the pitch will make a huge difference. But again, if he's not ready to go, Canada played several matches in qualifying without him, and they were able to get the job done. They were very impressive in getting those results without him. So they will have the belief that they can still pull some kind of result without him.
So let's say he's not 100%, and whether they decide to play him off the bench or play him in general, who is it that needs to step up the most to fill that void that, you know, 100% Alphonso Davies would have?
Well, I think the guy you probably look to is Junior Hoyt. I think he's in excellent form coming into this tournament. I think he's a player that Canada will look to have a big moment. Obviously, there is Jonathan David, there is Stephen Eustaquio, who are big names as well. But I think if you're looking at specifically on that left side, if you can put Hoyt on that side, and then you've got Tejan Buchanan on the other side, there's still plenty of attack there. There's still plenty of threat with those two. If you're looking at the formations, then, you know, they're kind of in that wing-back role. You might go with those three central defenders at the back. And so it's just about that defensive awareness that you've got to bring to the table then. And, you know, we saw Atiba Hutchinson in a defensive role. We'll see what that looks like come this Belgium match. But yeah, to me, Junior Hoyle is the guy that I would highlight in the absence of Davies.
Mm-hmm. Is the fact that you are laying out some options and the fact that the Canadians have been able to be successful without some of their big stars, is that their X factor, that they have some depth and maybe some players that do find a way to elevate their game in the absence of stars?
Absolutely, no question. And I think it comes down to John Herdman's preparedness as well. When you look at his history, whether it's even coaching the women's team, Christine Sinclair has talked about how every match they would go into with three formations ready to go. Everyone knew exactly what their role was in each formation. And so you can absolutely be assured in knowing that they will be as prepared as they can possibly be. Everyone will know exactly what their role is in whatever formation they go with. You'll see formations change during the match, depending on the situation, depending on what they're trying to do, and what they're forced to contend with. And so they will know exactly how they want to execute in this match, and that is a huge factor.
We'll see here in a moment with, or in a few hours with Mexico and Poland, but the United States did put out a decent account of themselves, at least in the first half versus Wales. Is there anything validating there in terms of the CONCACAF level and how it matches up, again, it matches up globally with the United States? It was probably a pretty even match, and I guess it evened out based on what we saw in the second half. But their start, is that encouraging for Canada and CONCACAF as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any reason for people to sort of look down on CONCACAF. You look at Mexico's history in the tournament, they have consistently made it to the round of 16, right? And even 2018, they got out of a group that included Germany and Sweden. And so I think you look at that history, they have proven to be very difficult. You know, 2014, I remember that they made the round of 16 and they lost a very difficult match to the Netherlands right at the very end. So I think there's enough in CONCACAF to show that you can have competitive fixtures. And with Canada, I think it's just a question of riding out those first, 15, 20 minutes when I'm sure there'll be plenty of nerves. I think that was what was so impressive about Saudi in shocking Argentina, right? Like if you had to draw up a blueprint for how they could do it, it would probably be, hey, get a goal in the first 10, 15 minutes and then kind of hang on from there. Instead, you would think that after Argentina get the lead, life becomes that much more difficult. So for them to make that comeback after the fact, is incredible and adds to the shock factor. And so with Canada, I really think, you get those first 20, 25 minutes. I mean, if you can get to halftime 0-0, then you really get Belgium in the locker room thinking about, oh no, we might be dropping points here. And that's when, the game might open up and you might be able to get on the counterattack, and you depend on the speed, the precision of guys like Jonathan David and, Eustachio picking out a pass, or Tejan Buchanan with, a bit of magic with his skill. That is where Canada could potentially expose Belgium.
Last World Cup question for you before we do a little Raptors discussion. What should we be watching for later today? I mean, we've discussed Poland and Mexico a little bit here, but France is also in action. Like, what's got your attention here beyond the game that has finished here with Argentina and Denmark and Tunisia live right now?
Yeah, I think with Poland and Mexico, I am actually, as much as I talk up Mexico, I am curious to see what they have at this World Cup. They seem to be, kind of in a transition phase, developing a new team. And so will they have enough to keep their round of 16 streak alive? That is something I'm very curious to see. And then with France and Australia, I think with France, the big question mark now is how are they going to cope with all the injuries? Obviously, they're the defending champions, but you're missing Paul Pogba, you're missing N'Golo Kante. The Karim Benzema news, him being out for the World Cup now is absolutely huge. And then Presnel Kimpembe, he starts for PSG. That's a big blow in their defense. So a lot of injury questions for France, and that's what I'm looking to see when they take on Australia. Obviously, there'll be bigger tests ahead as well, especially when they play Denmark.
That's perfect info leading into our betting segment after the break. Appreciate it, V. We'll take whatever we can get here. So let's shift to Raptors. It's been, I feel like, a couple days here since they hit the court. Their last game, obviously a little bit of a heartbreaker. You play, 99.9% of a good game and you lose it in the final dying seconds. But I think the main question I have for you to start is there's been so many injuries with the Raptors, and that's obviously affected the lineups, the way that these teams have been able to perform on the court. But is there a positive maybe underlying with all this, that there are players getting a lot of good reps and being able to make an impact when maybe they wouldn't have had an opportunity if all these players, all their stars were able to be healthy and impactful on the court?
Yeah, I think absolutely there is. And I think, what we're seeing play out a little bit is similar to what I remember seeing in the 2019-20 season, when the Raptors, you know, to start the season, Nick Nurse was going with a very short 7-man rotation, and injuries hit Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka, and he was left with no choice but to play the bench. And all of a sudden you have guys like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson emerge and Chris Boucher. And now you're in a situation where Thad Young was getting, you know, DNP CDs to start the season. He's become a big part of the rotation. You're looking at Malachi Flynn playing much better now. And so little things like that. And Delano Banton obviously had a great game against the Detroit Pistons. So I think what you're seeing now is them show Nick Nurse how they can be productive. And so ideally, when this team is healthy, Nick Nurse can look at a situation in a game and say, okay, I know that this is the type of situation that is tailored for Delano to be successful. This is a situation for Malachi to be successful. And I think that's where this stretch is important.
So with all this said, there's obviously been some opportunities for people to step up. And I think Scotty Barnes has been circled in that role. And I think it's a fair statement to say that maybe he hasn't performed as well. I mean, last game aside, he obviously took some steps forward. But okay, so in terms of the last week or two, are we being too hard on Scotty Barnes, or are we expecting too much from him? Is the sophomore slump a real thing? Has he been able to prove that he can be the guy in these situations?
I think it is fair to say that on the whole this season, he's underperformed. And when I look at, you know, how we're looking to make criticisms of him, I think I'm okay with him having a bad shooting night. Like, I want to see the assertiveness. I want to see the consistent aggression. That's what I'm kind of measuring him on. And so when you have maybe games like he had against Oklahoma City or the Indiana Pacers, those are the ones where I'm a bit concerned not seeing, you know, enough of an effort. I think that is something, whether rookie, sophomore, 10-year vet, that is something you can hold anyone accountable for. And so performance-wise, I think he's figuring it out. I mean, even last season when he had that great closing stretch to win the Rookie of the Year, he still had Pascal Siakam beside him, even if he didn't have Fred VanVleet. So this is a completely different beast playing without Pascal. And so I think he's taken a bit of time to figure that out. And these last two games are very encouraging. The Miami game, the Atlanta game, if he can keep up that level, again, he didn't shoot great against Atlanta, 11 for 29, but he almost has a triple-double, almost puts up 30 points. That is what you want to see out of Scotty Barnes.
It's not the perfect round number, but 17 games in, which is, I guess, close to 20% of the season. We can at least form it off that. What has been the single most encouraging development, I think, of this season that you've seen so far?
I would probably say OG Anunoby. I think there were expectations. I mean, there's been expectations coming for OG Anunoby every season, and we've been waiting and saying, hey, is this the year? Is this the year? And this is very much looking like the year. He has improved his offense, his defense, as impressive as it's been throughout his career, is just at a next level right now. And so I think that is the biggest sign of improvement for the Raptors as a whole, because if he's going like this and you add in, you know, Pascal playing at his, you know, first team all NBA level, Fred VanVleet, you know, playing at his level, I think those are things that portend well for the Raptors down the road, as long as they can get healthy.
Health is of the utmost importance. Is there an update or some sort of expectation here laid out for Pascal Siakam in terms of his return?
So, no, we don't have an update for Pascal Siakam. Obviously, he's pretty much at that 2-week mark in terms of when he's supposed to be reevaluated. And things have progressed the right way so far, is what Nick Nurse said at practice yesterday. But beyond that, we don't have much. The good thing is we know that Gary Trent Jr. and Chris Boucher are expected to play on Wednesday. And so you get a couple of important bodies back. And yeah, well, once the reevaluation is complete, then we should have a better idea of when we can see Siakam in a Raptors uniform again.
Vivek Jacob, writer for Raptors.com and CBC Sports. Perfect guest when the World Cup and the Raptors are in action at the same time. It doesn't, may not happen again, but it happens with World Cups in Qatar. So we appreciate your insight and bounce around a couple sports. Enjoy Canada's Open tomorrow, even though it's a working day for you, Big V.
Thank you. Have fun, guys.
We will. We're looking forward to Cafe Dip. That insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
I'm just getting the excitement going here. The jitters almost.
You got jitters? That's why I said it feels like it's snuck up on us, because I haven't got like nervous yet, or I haven't got that butterfly feeling. I thought I would have that. Maybe it's just like the lack of sleep overall, but I feel like I got to do some research. I got to consume some content. I got to get hyped up for it because I'm not there yet. I feel like it's stuck up on me.
Well, I have no idea what to expect in terms of how this country will unite starting tomorrow, because obviously I wasn't alive last time Canada was in the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Every other World Cup since has been something that I watch but don't have a vested interest in. Both my parents' heritage never make it to the World Cup, so it's not even like a family lineage that I care about. Mm-hmm. Mostly upsets, good storylines, players performing beyond expectations. Those are things I like in sport, but I've never had a huge heart pick. So starting tomorrow and moving forward, I'm like beyond excited just to see what this does to our city, to our country, to our station. Like it's a big moment for a lot of people that never have seen Canada in the World Cup.
I think it's kind of a best of both worlds scenarios, because I think everyone's going to be on board for Canada, mm-hmm. obviously, but I think we still have our rooting interests elsewhere as well. So people are going to be maybe not twice as excited, but I feel like the level of engagement is going to be at a different level. And it's nice for those who haven't had that connection like mm-hmm. yourself to now have all the reason in the world to be involved. I mean, watching English soccer games with my grandfather, some great memories that I had with my grandfather. It's like actually means something when they play for my family. So I get excited when England plays at the national level. And now future generations are going to be able to get excited about Canada playing on the World Cup stage. It really is great stuff. It means a lot to families, this event. Mm-hmm. It means a lot, obviously, to the world. It's the biggest sporting event probably globally. And for us Canadians, everyone to have the ability to make and cherish memories, it's a really, really exciting thing.
The biggest sporting event for me globally has always been the Olympics, which is mm-hmm. also every 4 years or every two if you're looking at summer, winter. But I'm expecting this to feel to rival that personally. Obviously, as someone that loves hockey, the Winter Olympics have meant a lot to me personally and my friends succeeding. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited to see how this just brings us together. And that starts tomorrow at Cafe Diplomatico. And we mentioned it will be open at 5 a.m. You can come there and open the door with us as we set up our on-site show. We will be there as a station all the way till 1 p.m. Justin and I putting in the grind, doing a four-hour show tomorrow, followed by our guy, J.D. Bunkus and Donovan Bennett.
Then Halford and Broff after that go national. So we have, what, 6, 7, 8 hours, maybe 9 hours of lead up to mm-hmm. Canada, Belgium at 2 p.m. So we'll have you covered again from Cafe Diplomatico, Toronto's soccer headquarters, open at 5 a.m.
Whew.
Live entertainment outside, heated patio. Yeah, they've got it all.
The street entertainment is a surprise to me. From noon till 9 p.m., live entertainment, prizes, a massive video wall, and the heated tent. Like, you park your car, and you're staying there all day long. Put some money in your Green Pea account. Justin.
Little Italy, wearing different colors. It'll be red down there in Little Italy in Cafe Diplomatico. With the World Cup involving Canada, and not the Italians this year, but I think we'll make it through with Canada and we can all be on board with the same team down there at Cafe Diplomatico.
We'll have some World Cup picks for you in the Wake and Rake, which is next. You have a couple minutes to send in any last Wake and Rake thoughts. We did get a couple upset listeners that we switched the Wake and Rake time yesterday because Ross Tucker was in the air on an airplane and could not connect with
us. It's actually pretty funny that we finally won.
We won.
Maybe that's the, I didn't even think about that.
Maybe we won yesterday.
Maybe that's something to chew on later.
We have broken the streak. Now we're on a one-day winning streak. A new era has begun. I get to donate $30 to Movember, double our winnings. Right. Keep on putting the money in the spot that matters. We'll try to keep that going today. We got no Toronto sports on, though. It is a empty night in terms of personalized betting opportunities. Mm-hmm. So you might have some daytime World Cup. Only two NHL games tonight. Like, it is just a barren betting field out there tonight.
Yep. So that's opportunity, though. You can anchor your parlay pretty much in anything, whether it's two more World Cup games to be played today, a full NBA slate, a couple NHL games.
Full NBA slate. There's four NBA games.
I guess that was just a
four
bad,
NBA. Two
I guess that
NHL.
Was just a bad assumption because usually
tomorrow,
they try and stagger.
30 teams play in the NHL.
Oh, that's why. Because
tomorrow's
the NBA and NHL don't try and compete with Thursday night or Thursday all day mm-hmm. Thanksgiving.
Tomorrow's
spectacular.
Slammed.
So we got a lot of NHL tomorrow. I'm sure we'll have a lot of NBA tomorrow as well. For today we got to get a little creative, and we will get creative with the Wake and Rake after the break.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
It's time for the award-winning Wake and Rake, brought to you by Univet. Crazy about the odds. Red hot to start the week. Never in doubt.
Start the week.
Yeah, yesterday was Monday. You're
oh,
starting
yeah, you're
your
right.
week.
Man, I've had two really, really obvious brain farts today.
You sure have.
Two, that was bad.
Maybe
to start
three.
The week. I'm like, what is it, Wednesday? Three. The beam was tough.
The beam was
the
a
lyrics
low
today
point
was
in
really
your career.
Bad. The judge take
was hilarious too.
Wow, we did. Why was the judge take hilarious?
Well, you just made a. It was a funny sentence.
That the Yankees would be worse. I'm like, are we okay? I'm gonna start breaking down your analysis of things because there's certainly you've said more obvious things than that.
Let me give you something that I've been stewing on, which is embarrassing.
Okay,
I'll just put myself out there. I don't understand whales.
What?
Like, I don't understand what whales is.
Okay.
Right? Like, it's kind of a country, but it's not. It's in the UK. I can't grasp whales. And then I saw the game yesterday, and it just got me thinking, like, what? I don't understand whales. And I'm okay to say that on the air and put myself out there. It's a bit of a confusing situation with whales, and that's
okay.
all.
Okay.
I will say it looks beautiful.
I can't detail the history for you.
It's stunning. They've got a cool flag. But whales is, I don't know, it just... I don't get it. So I'll say that and give you an opportunity to make fun of something that I said. Now we're not even close to being even, but I gave you that as a free
layup.
Yeah,
when you offer it like that, it's just not the same.
But it's been something I've been stewing on, and I just can't really get it. So
not understanding whales is something, you know, you just some cursory research, you could probably understand.
I probably should, but I watched the game and I thought, I don't like really understand what whales is. So.
Ignorance can be blessed, though.
Yeah, maybe I just don't want to know.
Not knowing sometimes is not a terrible thing.
I'm fine to not. I'm sure in the text line, someone's going to copy and paste Wikipedia and say, just look it up, dummy. And that's fine.
Copy and paste Wikipedia.
I will, but I just wanted to give Justin a little bit of...
Okay, I appreciate that. An olive branch, because I've been struggling to start this week.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. That's teamwork. Let's continue on with this teamwork with the Wake and Rake. I want to give you first, before we get into today's picks, the last piece of the puzzle for my Jack Adams.
Mr. Justin Cuthbert Futures.
It's okay. The reason why I love the Jack Adams is because it's a ridiculous broken market that doesn't react to anything. But I want to lay something out for you. I've already bet on a few guys, and people will like criticize. Well, maybe they won't, but they'll criticize like, "Oh, you bet on everyone. That's not the way. That's not the way you should win bets." Well, yeah, it is, because if you find plus 2800s everywhere, you bet on five of them. Trust me, you're in a good position
just
to bring
$5.
In. Exactly, you're in a good position. The ROI is there. So the final bet I'm going to make, I think at least, there might be something that comes up, but I think the final one is Rick Bonus. The Winnipeg
Bonesy.
Jets. I got him yesterday at plus 2,800.
Wow.
The story is built right in. The Jets are having a tremendous season. If they win their division after Bonesy came in and stripped Blake Wheeler of his captaincy after previous coaches failed That's in right. Winnipeg with the same group. The narrative is right there. So if you add Rick Bowness to Jim Montgomery, which we have, mm-hmm. Bruce Cassidy, which we have, Lindy Ruff, which we have, you're golden. And Don Granato was my preseason. I just want to make it known. I bought out of it. They're not going to win. He's not going to win. Buffalo's not good enough to win. There are other candidates here.
They certainly tricked us, though.
But there's still an opportunity here. The market moves very slowly. Yes, they've adjusted the Lindy Ruff. I think he's like plus 500 in most places. It's not up at Unibet right now. It comes up every now and then. You have to watch out for it. But right now, you can get Rick Bowness, who has maybe the best story based on the captaincy thing alone, at plus 2,800. It's a good bet.
I love it. And you know what? The Winnipeg Jets have been very quiet. We don't talk about the Winnipeg Jets. They just go sneakily do what they're doing.
They're having an outstanding season.
They sure are. So maybe that's why Unibet hasn't caught on, because it's quiet.
Well, I'll give Unibet credit. They're at least a little bit more careful with this. Because sometimes they just very stale odds remain up for very prolonged periods of time. But the Jets right now at 11-5-1, plus 9 goal differential, 7-2-1 of their last 10, 2 points behind the Stars, who have played 2 extra games for the division mm-hmm. lead. They're right there with the Stars and Avalanche. And if they win that division, there's tough competition with what's going on with Jersey and Boston and Vegas. But Bonesy's name will be up there. Voters would love to give him the Jack Adams issue.
Okay. You always find a little diamond in the rough, and I appreciate it.
I like the Jack Adams because the other ones are really, really reactive.
Right. Austin Matthews is going to score 3 goals this weekend, and he'll be like minus money to
win. Sheldon Keefe's probably plus 1,400 right now, in that range. Mm-hmm. He's not winning the Jack Adams. Like, this is just not happening. There's no chance. No chance. So if it's a broken market, try and take advantage of it. The other ones, not as broken.
Before we move on to World Cup, because I know you got some stuff from there, text in here. Wales being part of Britain and the UK, but separate from England, and the fact it varies between Olympics and World Cup and other events is confusing. I'm with you. I wail in the confusion of Wales. Chris from Toronto.
There you go. A little support. So maybe your take isn't that crazy. I mean, it's confusing, but I guess it's just the way they approached FIFA, right? Like, Wales can be its own thing. It's own country. That's how they wanted to enter the soccer federation, and England is its own thing. But at Olympics, you're right. It's the UK, right? So that is confusing.
Somebody's also texted in https://en.m/wikipedia/Wales. Look it up, dummy.
I guess you asked for that one.
And then finally, I just want everyone to know I'm still texting that damn Calgary radio station every day.
I love it.
Okay. World Cup. So
make sure George knows.
We got a game on right now.
Yeah, I got Tunisia to not score in this game, and they are buzzing.
They look
so
good.
I'm a little scared. They almost scored just now. Kasper Schmeichel with a great save for Denmark. But, you know, we're almost at halftime, and it's still nil-nil between
Denmark
and Tunisia.
Well, halftime plus another 20 minutes probably.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know how to exactly insert that into our handicapping, the fact that these teams are playing 20 extra minutes per game because of stoppage time, but that seems to be a thing at this World Cup, so we'll see if that affects things moving forward. I guess it's a consideration for my actual wake and rake pick, which I'll give you right now, which is France and Australia, both teams to score. That's a big no.
Mm-hmm.
It's minus 167 on Unibet right now. Australia, I think, is the worst team at the World Cup, and France is the defending World Cup champion. And France, as Vivek Jacob laid out for us, has had a bit of a tumultuous lead up. Karim Benzema, who just won Ballon d'Or, I believe, is out. He's their top striker. N'Golo Kanté, who is one of the best midfielders in the world, also out. Paul Pogba, another one of the best midfielders in the world, also out. But the thing about France is that France could send their fifth team and they'd be competitive on the world stage. France is very, very good. France should not get scored on by Australia, who is very, very not good. So I'll take the 167. I know that's...
It has now moved to minus 177.
Well, people know. Get it in before it goes
to
200.
Fine. We accept it.
We're trying to win parlays here. I don't care. Much better winning than losing.
I love winning. All right. So that's a great pick. I've loaded it up here. Unibet minus 177, but that's okay. Both teams
I will say, when I looked at it last night, minus 141. Whoa. So it's going.
People were having the same gut feeling as you, which is good.
And it's it does make sense.
Okay, so I'll just give you mine while we're at it. And it was a popular one in the text line. It was the first one I said to you at like 6 a.m. when we were scrolling.
Gut feel?
Another gut feel. There's two NHL games on tonight. Sabres and Canadiens and Rangers and Kings. I like the over in the Sabres and Canadiens, which I think some people have also selected. But the first thing I thought of is the Rangers only minus 114 to beat the Kings. I know they're on the road, but the Rangers need to get... They're my Rangers, remember?
Mm-hmm. They are your Rangers.
And so minus 114, basically a coin toss. Is the Kings are 107, just on the money line. I like the Rangers tonight. I'm putting them in my parlay as well as some individuals in the text line, like in this one. And I got to say, Parlay Poppy is one of them. And so we always ride with Parlay Poppy. And may I read his text?
Sure.
Parlay Poppy with the double chance prediction. What a guy. Currently 9-for-11 in the last 2 weeks for the team. To quote the movie Gladiator, are you not entertained? I feel like Chris Tucker singing Michael Jackson in Rush Hour. Might go to Timmy's and get a French vanilla because my picks are so sweet. Kanye West might get canceled, but I still ask Google Home to play Welcome to the Good Life when I woke up. Dana White called this morning with news on the new Power Slap League. He said the Kings are first to get slapped by the Rangers today. I'll be ringside for this one. Parlay, the people's champ, Poppy.
Wow. That is a tremendous text. But that's your pick, right? You got overlap?
Can we share it?
Yeah, no, it's yours. Okay. But I Poppy should be acknowledged for sure. I thought he was going to give us a double chance because we were talking about potentially playing France to win on the double result, which is to win both halftime and win the game outright. I feel like that's a decent play. We'll have to see what the number is. But yeah, that's another one we got to think about. Double chances, not to score. There's a lot of ways to play these World Cup games beyond just the money lines.
So not only a Parlay Poppy and myself going with this, but I got another text to read in here. You're going to love this one. Okay. Hi, Ailish and Justin. Juliana's uncle and Ron from Markham's brother here.
Oh, my.
Enjoy listening to the show, except when I hear Juliana's constant pick of the Golden State Warriors. Charles Davis is my favorite.
Ours, too.
Of course. One pick tonight, Rangers on the money line. Kings are first game off a long road trip, and New York should have been settled in on the West Coast playing Saturday in San Jose. Enjoy the rest of your day. Say hello to Danielli, as I know him from the local basketball community, Joel from London. Like Justin, a UWO alum and currently coaching with the men's basketball team. Go Stangs.
Joel from London. So, he touched on everything there.
Honestly.
Me, you.
So me, Parlay
Juliana,
Poppy, and
Ron,
Joel from
Danielli?
London. Like, it's a beautiful night for us to triple bet this one.
Let us know how the Stangs are doing this year.
Yeah, please. Okay, so there's three people that love this pick. That works for me.
That's an easy one. The anchor is the... No, yours. It's not the anchor.
No.
The Rangers are
in. It's a team effort here. Let me give you another hockey two before we sprinkle around some more. Good morning. For today's Wake and Rake, we're going Tage Thompson over 3.5 shots. He has hit that number in 6 straight games and had 9 versus the Leafs. Juliana likes the Phoenix Suns -6.5. The Lakers are winless on the road and the Suns play great at home. And for a sprinkle on World Cup, take Mexico +145 today. That's Ron and Markham. The whole family is texting in this morning.
A lot there. I love it. I kind of like Poland. I kind of like Poland.
Poland is +225.
To win outright?
Yeah.
I feel like, especially with Mexico-Poland, if you play the draw no bet, which would give you close to, pick 'em, it might be the best option because there's a very good chance that they draw. You get your money back, of course, if they draw. But if you feel one way or the other, maybe, pretty safe play because you don't lose on the three-way.
I really like, obviously, to bet on Tage Thompson. I don't know how you can't. I just don't believe that the shots market is up this morning, and it is not.
Mm.
Oh, it literally just showed up.
Just like that.
Over 3.5, Tage Thompson is -143. Potential play.
Okay.
Okay, we'll keep that one there.
Is that our leader?
I have no feel on the Phoenix Suns. Sorry about that. I know the Lakers are garbage, but let's just keep the Tage Thompson as an option here.
Okay.
Buffalo and Montreal over 6.5 goals. Another one that I had circled. That's Chris and Moncton. Let me read Matt in Toronto.
Okay.
Well, guys, I'm very disappointed that you moved the Wake and Rake time yesterday. Really threw my entire day off. I couldn't think straight and I made some terrible betting choices because of it. I am now I am now a year's pay in the hole, and my five-year-old just told me I bring shame to the family name. Now I know how Argentina feels. But not to worry, I've got a really good feeling about today's pick. I think this one's going to put me back in the black of my children's good graces. Go ahead and put everything down on Domantas Sabonis over points and rebounds. It's a no-brainer. How random is that? Matt in Toronto.
That is random. Send your hate mail to Ross Tucker.
Why?
Because it threw the Wake and Rake time threw him off.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
We had Ross join us at 8:30 instead of 8 o'clock like normal, and Matt in Toronto suffered the consequence.
He didn't put any reason for Domantas Sabonis, just like pick him over points and rebounds.
Well, other than it's a no brainer.
Yeah, put everything you have on it.
I kind of like the confidence. Keep that in the dock because I'm playing it.
Okay, two World Cup picks here before we decide. Corey from Port Hope likes World Cup action to go over 2.5 goals in France and Australia for the Wake and Rake.
I don't love it. I think France can score three, but I'd rather just play France to score, you know, whatever their team total is, because I don't think Australia is helping you out at all. And we can't play that with mine.
You're right. You can't, but appreciate it. Matt in Kitchener, Lewandowski, anytime goal scorer, plus 110.
Yeah, Polish striker. If Poland's going to score, it's probably Lewandowski, but I don't know. We don't have a really great feel on Mexico Poland. We should probably leave it out.
I'm at a red light, and the lady next to me is wondering why I'm laughing so hard. I'm not going to stop texting the Calgary station. That was just me responding to him. Okay, so we have three potentials here for the Wake and Rake anchor. We've got the over Tage Thompson shots, which I like against Montreal. I like Buffalo Montreal over 6.5 goals. And then obviously the no-brainer, Matt in Toronto, a curveball, Domantas Sabonis over points and rebounds.
I like Tage. I think I vote for Tage over 3.5 shots because Buffalo's had a little time off since playing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that.
They need a win, too. It's embarrassing.
Even though I feel like it's late in the week, it's actually only Tuesday. So they've only been off for a couple days. But I feel like they could, if Don Granato is the coach I think he is, I think they got to make an adjustment here. We got to play a little bit better here defensively. Maybe we try to shut this thing down a little bit. But they rely on one line to give them any sort of offense, and that is Tuck and Skinner and Tage Thompson. So over 3.5 shots seems very reasonable. I could see it being, you know, a 4-2 game and we're kicking ourselves because we took the over. So let's go with Tage.
I will say I missed Big Mac's pick here. We'll just read it out. Big win last night, team. Let's go back to back. Limited board, so I got to take some juice today. -175, Kreider over 2.5 shots. Hit in the last six games, cleared it in 7 out of 10.
Ooh. Big Mac generally doesn't miss getting that text in. I thought he might have been sleeping.
It was so early in the text line that I scrolled right past it, but I made sure to give him this.
And you know, he contributed to the winner last night, but I think we already locked in Tage. No,
Tage it is. Okay, so our Unibet parlay: Rangers on the straight up money line over the Kings. Both teams to score. No. France and Australia, which is heavy juice. over 3.5 shots. Over 3.5 shots by Tage Thompson. Altogether, our Unibet parlay is plus 402.
Reasonable. We cash a couple 402s every week. We'll be perfectly happy. We got a couple minutes left here. Is there anything else from the A-list we can get to?
Yes. So you know how Budweiser got screwed out of being the official beer sponsor because at the last second it just got ripped from their wallets.
Yeah, no booze, right?
Budweiser has now said, with their thousands and thousands and thousands of cases of beer, about $75 million worth of a sponsorship.
All in Doha right now? Like in Qatar? That beer is?
I don't have the tracking air tag on
it. I'm just saying, if we're preparing to sell it, we can't.
It was probably there because it was one day before.
Okay, so what are they doing with the beer? Sorry.
They are going to give it all to the winning team.
Wow.
All of it.
Okay, I kind of like that. I think they made lemonade here. When life gives you lemons, send the beer to the winning country.
All of the beer.
Just, you better have a...
Best of luck.
You better have a private jet that can handle... How many tons of it? No, this was completely deleted. That was the meat.
The 6,000 meat pounds.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a lot of beer...
From Argentina.
You're going to need a lot of capability on that plane.
Woo!
Towing ability.
Best of luck to the champs, which will probably be Brazil, my guys. Okay. We'll see. All right, that was the Fan Morning Show for you this morning. We will be at Cafe Diplomatico live in person tomorrow, starting around 5:15. We'll probably show up, roll in the door, get some espresso in us, and we hope to see you there. Hope to celebrate Canada opening the World Cup tomorrow afternoon. See you then.